Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former heavyweight boxing contender Jerry Cooney. Let me give you a little reminder about Jerry's background. He's from Long Island. He's a two-time New York Golden Gloves champion. He had an amazing rise through the heavyweight ranks. He knocked out legends like Jimmy Young, Ron Lyle, and Ken Norton. Fought for the title against Larry Holmes. Also fought George Foreman during both of their comebacks. And Foreman said he was one of the three hardest punchers that he ever faced. Overall, Jerry's record was 28-3 with 24 knockouts. He's written a wonderful book titled Gentleman Jerry, A Contender in the Ring and a Champion in Recovery, which you can order on Amazon. And we are very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jerry, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Jerry.
Oh, Chris and Bob, you guys are killing me. I listened to your commentary about the games. It was so beautiful. Unfortunately, I'm a Jets fan, and I don't even watch it anymore.
But it's all sorry to hear that, Jerry. Painful.
Huh? Great to be on with you guys again. And listen, it's a great time. I shouldn't say it's a great time. It's been a nightmare this past year. But we're all hanging in there. We lost some friends. And, you know, we just got to get through these next couple of months, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I was kind of curious. How are you? Have you sort of stayed safe and kind of made your way through what was a terrible year in 2020?
The only thing I do is I fight with my wife. I don't fight it. I don't get in the ring no more. I just fight with my wife. And I can't win there. Now, everything's all good. Listen, I got my radio show, Sirius XM. It's on 156 every Monday, every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. I shut my gym down. I got a great family, a lot of exercise. And, you know, I just read and, you know, we go crazy. But listen, this is what we got right now. This is what we got to deal with. And we got to stay safe and stay away from politics.
Yeah, no kidding.
True.
Jerry, last time we had you on the show, we certainly talked about, you know, your book and your childhood. For the folks that didn't join us last time, may not have heard the story. Talk about the things that you had to endure growing up in an abusive household with an alcoholic father and the things that you had to do to survive it.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing is survival. And, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic family, big Irish Catholic family. And, unfortunately, my father didn't have a great upbringing. And so he grew up, rather than changing it like I did, he kind of did the same thing to his kids and wanted to be the boss and tell us what to do, what to wear, where to go. And, you know, obviously, we all left the house early. I mean, my oldest brother left at 15. My brother, next brother left at 17 as I did. And we found our way out by ourselves. I mean, I was graduating high school. My buddies went to college. I had to find a career and a life. And boxing was that for me. And I'm so glad because I found out in my book, it talks about boxing was my way out. You know, it helped me express the anger I felt for what was going on in the house. And I was pretty good at it. And I loved seeing my picture in the paper when I was 16, 17, winning the Golden Gloves. After every fight, I was on the back page of the Daily News, and it kind of made me somebody. And then I went on and embarked, you know, on a professional career. I made it to the finals of the Olympic trials in 1976, but I didn't go because my father was sick, and that was 10% of the reason. That really was, I didn't have the self-esteem or the confidence, so I never took that shot. It's one of the biggest regrets of my whole life. But listen, we're doing great. I got a great family, like great radio show, great people around, and hey, I'm on with you guys tonight.
And Jerry, last time we talked about, you know, your fight with Larry Holmes and you were talking about how the two of you actually became good friends afterwards. Talk about your relationship with Larry.
I can't stand him. No, I'm just kidding. No, listen, there was a couple of years ago where, you know, they were talking about him and I doing some exhibitions again. And fighting, and, you know, I really don't know. We had such a great fight back in 82, June 11th, 1982. I don't know why in today's time we would have had a rematch or maybe a trilogy fight. But unfortunately, I got stopped in the 13th round, and leading into that fight, there was so much racism about black and white, and it was a nightmare. And I was out in Vegas living with five or six guys I went to school with, and we were eating lobster tail and turtle soup. I had no time for talk about racism, and he was angry at me, and I was angry at him. And we get to the center of the ring that night, and Mills Lane is giving us instructions, and Larry looks at me and says, "Let's have a good fight." I was like, "You got to be kidding me. I wanted to hit you in the head." But anyway, it was just a great time, and you know, we hated each other. I mean, he came up in Ollie's era, and he saw all the attention that Ollie got, and when he became the man, he didn't get it, and he was a little bitter. And then I came along, and people identify with me. I was the working man's fighter, and they connected with me, and he was angry about that. But as it came to be, you know, he was a little better than me that night. I got stopped in the 13th round, and we became great friends through the years. And even today, we talk a couple of times a month, and we make appearances together, and, you know, we live in life. This is no more do-over. This is the real thing. And, you know, I put down the booze 32 and a half years ago, not that I'm counting. And I turned a great
wow,
life
for
myself. I really kind of turned it around. And I think growing up in an alcoholic family like that, I developed some insecurities. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't trust myself. And the night I knocked out Kenny Norton in 54 seconds of the first round, when I should have really said, let me get a good trainer, let me get ready, I'm going to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world, I started drinking and messing around. And 13 months later, I fight Larry Holmes and get stopped. So, but it's all good. I got a great life today. A lot of great friendships here, out west, all over the place. And I'm living large.
Jerry, speaking of knocking out Kenny Norton in 54 seconds, kind of leading up to when you fought Holmes, I mean, you knocked out Jimmy Young in four rounds in May of 1980. 5 months later in October, you knock out Ron Lyle in the first round. And then, like you say, in May of 81, you knock out Kenny Norton in 54 seconds. And then you didn't get another fight for another 13 months until you got Holmes in June of 82. So you effectively barely had six rounds of boxing in 2 years before you step into the ring with Holmes. Did that actually hurt you, not getting, you know, more fights in there or longer fights? Did it allow you to get a little rusty by the time you got in there with Holmes?
Well, I imagine so. Listen, I needed four or five more fights with durable guys that were going to push me to the distance, and I couldn't get them because Don King owned everybody, and because I wouldn't sign with him, he didn't give me nobody to fight. So I was fighting basically once a year in my heyday when I should have been fighting three or four times a year and gaining experience. Listen, what I learned in my fight with Larry Holmes in 82, I learned so much that night. In that one fight, I really learned how to fight that night from all the experience he had, how smart he was. He made you wish. He made you wait. He was patient. He took his time. And, you know, that's what you need as an athlete, is those kind of looks so that when you get shot, you're ready for it.
Bob, questions for Jerry?
Jerry, it's great to speak with you again. And I got to share this with you. You know, I was plugging your appearance earlier this afternoon. And a friend of mine said, tell Jerry that you know a New York City iron worker local 40 for 37 years. And he said Jerry used to be very well liked in the number 40 hall. So he wanted me to pass that along. He said,
"Cool,
you'll get a kick out of that." His name was Pete Allen. He Southern Connecticut now. He lives Jerry, but Pete Allen, he might be listening,
wow.
But I'll send the regards. But
he
wanted me to definitely get that.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
Tell him hello and thank you. Listen, I love Local 40. My father was an iron worker all his life, and for a couple of years before I turned pro, I was up 30, 40 stories up in the sky, walking across 6-inch beams. Man, that was an interesting thing, and I had a great time. You know, those iron workers, they're the greatest guys in the world, and they were my fans, and I was fans of theirs, and we stay friends. We see each other today. As a matter of fact, when I'm in the city, not this last year, I know, but I always stop by the jobs when the iron workers are working. I stop and say hello because it's like family. Someone's on the line. You know what I mean?
Right. And Jerry, I mean, I spent my undergraduate days at when you were really getting into the scene, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And I remember spending a lot of time at the Westchester County Center. There was wrestling going on, and it was always something going on. And you had fought there, and you had fought, my goodness, at the Calderon Concert Hall. I remember back in Long Island. But when you started getting the gigs at the Felt Forum, Madison Square Garden, that's got to make you feel like the homeboy did good. Did you get chills there, Jerry? And how did you control the emotions at the time?
Listen, still to this day, I feel the Garden is my home. And I still go to Nick games, the Ranger games, concerts. And all the people that work there, they remember. They never forget us. And I feel so close to all those guys. And listen, one of the good things I had was Howard Davis had won the gold medal in the Olympics that year. His mom died during the Olympics, and he won the title. And I got to travel with him putting tights on for CBS. So I got a lot of exposure through that. And, yes, I love the Garden. It's the most favorite place in the world for me to fight. I mean, Vegas wasn't there when I fought Holmes in front of 32 or 35,000 seat stadium in the parking lot. But, yeah, Madison Square Garden, it's a dream. And I still hear the magic when I go there. You know, it's phenomenal.
And, you know, I think of the days with Victor Valley and et cetera, Jerry. Were you one of those boxers? And we know that the training that goes into it is intense. It's hard. You really have to really control your urges and things like that. But were you one of those guys that really loved the training, or did you just do it because you knew you had to do it?
Well, I mean, listen, once the bell rings, who wants to get up every day and say, well, I got five or six of these sparring partners down here today, and they want to kick my ass. And so, you know, you get in there, and you got four other guys watching you boxing, and they're looking for your flaws, your weaknesses, and that's how you get better. And so it's a hard job, but, you know, when you're in the zone, you know, there's a world-class zone you get in, and you can find the openings, you can create the openings, and you can make them happen. And there's nothing like it in the world. You can watch your opponent's face and you see the fight leaving him. You can see he's being defeated as you're finding those openings. And there's a lot of great fighters today. Andre Ward is one of them. You know, Bernard Hopkins was a great fighter. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. I mean, Tyson Fury. They just have this ability, and it doesn't last long, to find their openings and to do the things they want to do. And when you have that, it's like magic.
Jerry, you mentioned not signing with Don King. Is that why there wasn't a rematch with Holmes? Because you weren't one of his boys, so, you know, you don't get another shot?
Well, not just that, but there was so many other guys, John Tate, Witherspoon. There was, you know, tons of other guys that could have given me, you know, more looks, more experience, so that when I got in there with Holmes, I could have been more prepared. Like I said, when I lost to Holmes that night, I learned so much about the fight game that I never learned before, because I was in there with the best guy, you know, one of the top three or four heavyweight champions of all time. And when you get that opportunity, you have to learn.
So take that a half a step further. What did you learn that night that you were, you know, dying to get another opportunity to make the adjustments and come back and maybe have a better opportunity to win the second time around?
Well, obviously, I didn't have enough experience going deep into the fight. I had a lot of early knockouts, you know, and that was one thing. The other thing is that, you know, I kept leaning to my left to get away, and I was walking into the right hand. So I would have weaved more underneath. I would have weaved more, got to the body more. Which is another lost art today. There's not a lot of great body punches anymore doing it. The amateurs seem to, you don't score punches thrown to the body, and people forgot about it. It's starting to come back. And I love the body shots. I love touching the ribs. In fact, when I come out there, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to get in there with you for a couple of rounds, bro, and I'm going to show you the rib shots. See how you like it.
No kidding, because that's what ultimately ended the fight with Ken Norton, right? Was a left to his ribs.
No, that was Ron Lyle. But when I fought Kenny Norton, I was in the old Mandingo, and I always liked when the bell rang, I wanted to catch with a shot. and let you know how powerful I was. And I hit him with a right hand to the body, and he buckled a little bit. So I thought to myself, well, I like that. Let me take a shot here. And I spun him into the corner, and I didn't know he got stuck on the rope. And I caught him with an uppercut to the chin, and he just limped, went down. And every time I turned, the referee didn't say anything. And the next day, it said 4 punches from death in every paper in New York on the front page. And I believe it. And the referee stopped the fight just in time. And that was a great win for me. I thought I was going to be in for a tough fight that night. But I found out that when you back Kenny Norton up, he can't get off. So Kenny Norton is great when he's coming forward. But if you back him up, he can't get off. And that's what I caught him doing. I backed him up, and I caught it, and I hit him on the chin. And 54 seconds into that first round, you know, they were waiting for the fat lady to say, oh, you know, I don't know. They were waiting for the fat lady to say, and they stopped the fight. And then I, you know, worked for it. Took me 13 months to get the fight with Holmes. And it was just so distasteful. And, you know, it became a black-white thing, and it was never that between him or me. It's just the promoters. They wanted to make money, so they built it up that way. And that's a shame in life.
And Jerry, you mentioned a little bit ago, and I read an article that said that they were actually trying to get the two of you sort of back together to do a little exhibition or sparring. I don't know if it was at the level of what we saw from Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. here a few months ago.
Yes.
But how serious were those talks?
At least it was going to be like that. And we were seriously thinking about it, doing six-round exhibitions. But unfortunately, I might have killed him. I might have killed him. You just got to watch that out. You know what I mean? I'm just joking. Larry had a fall. And he banged his head. He had a little bit of a brain bleed. And he didn't find out for 6 or 8 months. So that kind of, you know, you get in the ring and you hit somebody by mistake, you know, you might hurt him. We didn't want to go through that. And we're too good of friends.
Bob, one more for Jerry before we let him go.
Sure, Jerry, I was reading, again, some of your younger memoirs, you know, the Huntington Athletic Club and the YMCA but at one time, you were remarked as saying that your brother Tom had more potential as a boxer than you did. Was that true?
Tommy was an unbelievable puncher. He was how I became a left-handed, such a great left hook. I saw him out when I was 17 in the bar, and some big guy was messing with him, and he hit the guy with a right hand to the body and a left hook to the chin, the wind at him, and knocked him out. I thought the guy was going to die. And that's when I found out, you know, and I had the gift of the punch. I had a gift of natural punching ability, as he did. And unfortunately, we both entered into the Golden Gloves together. He made it to the finals. I made it to the finals. I was a middleweight. He was a heavyweight. And unfortunately, in the Golden Gloves, he fought some guy from the Virgin Islands who had a lot of experience. My brother only had 3 or 4 or 5 fights. And he outclassed my brother. And I stuck with it. My brother left. And I regret that so much because I love my brother so much. As a matter of fact, that day, I said a prayer to God. God, listen, if one of us has to lose, I said, let it be me. And unfortunately, I went on one middleweight title with a knockout and got the Best Fighter of the Year award. And my brother, unfortunately, lost. And I love my brother dearly. And he's got a great life today, as my rest of my family. And we're kicking and scratching in this pandemic.
Jerry, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can get a copy of your book, listen to your show, and also stay up to date with all you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, now, I took a lot of shots. It's hard to remember all that. Listen, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, Gentleman Jerry, Contender in the Ring of Champion in Recovery. I'm on SiriusXM Mondays and Friday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. on channel 156. And you can get me on Jerry A on Instagram and what's the other one? Facebook. And I'm still a caveman. So you're going to have to, you know, I don't go on a lot, but I do get on. And I'd love to see you sometime on my show. Give us a call. Read my book. It's a lot of great things to talk about. Me and Randy Gordon, Monday and Friday night, the fights.
Jerry, we can't thank you enough for being generous with your time and coming back and being a part of the show again tonight. We hope we get the privilege of catching up with you again soon.
Yeah, and I love that. And listen, when there's some big fights coming up, which there are, I would love to get on your show and break the fight card down for you.
Absolutely. We love that, too. So we'll make sure that we get that done.
And where are you guys located?
I'm in Atlanta. Bob's up in Connecticut.
Well, I'm coming there for you guys, both of you. You better start running. I love you guys. No. Love you guys.
You too, Jerry.
We appreciate you, Jerry. Take care. All the best to you and your family.
Take care. We'll talk
soon. I'll see you, my friend. You too. Bye-bye.
See you, Jerry. That's the great Jerry Cooney, Bob. I tell you what. You know, if he was coming for me, I would start running. I would get in shape real fast and start running.
But they call him Gentleman Jerry, right? They call him Gentleman Jerry, right, Chris? But as you said, he should be generous, Jerry Cooney, to us, Chris. We're very privileged to have him as a friend and as a regular guest now. And there's just so much to cover with him. I can't wait to speak with him again.
Me too. All right, we've got our next guest, Brian Baker, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Baker right on the other side of this real quick station break.